is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 467, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast on going, with me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. Hopefully you're feeling better. You know, we skipped the podcast last week because you're feeling under the weather, and it's
a Monday. Oh, yeah, that's why. Yeah.
It's a Monday.
We're all mixed up.
Yeah, so we're podcasting on Monday because I'm going to be out of town the rest of this week. So
I'm feeling a lot better. And then we were going to bump it back to Friday maybe, and then it just worked out better to do it tonight. So
yeah. So lots to talk about this week. We have three reviews. We got to talk about anything that we found on Amazon. Windows 10 EOL, a really cool Windows story as well, and some other stuff. So we have so much to talk about. We do have our full show notes page. If you guys did want to follow along, links to everything that we're going to be talking about this week is just all right here for you guys to follow along. So first off, Amazon Prime, what was it, Prime Days or Prime?
Prime Day 2 version 2? I don't know.
So it's like the pre-holiday sale. Did you end up buying anything?
I don't think so, no. I didn't. I kind of like knew it was coming, and then I forgot about it, and then I just was like,
there wasn't anything that was like, I mean, there were some sales, like a few sales, like you saw some things. There were a couple of graphics cards that were like slightly discounted, but nothing like, there was nothing that was like, oh my God, I need to get that sales.
What I noticed more was like the competition having their own sales on their sites and advertising for it in social media and just websites like Target, Walmart, Best Buy.
Newegg had a sale going on. Yeah. So, it was, like I said, it wasn't like I didn't see anything, because typically when like Amazon used to, this is the second Prime Day of the year.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But it, yeah.
And then we're going to have Black Friday, and then we're going to have Cyber Monday.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just going to be, I don't know. But yeah, I didn't see anything crazy. I picked up some like around the house stuff like I always do when Amazon has a sale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Especially those things that you already going to need or buy.
Just save a couple sale, bucks.
Might as well grab them. Yeah.
Yeah. We have old man in the chat. Good to see you here on a Monday. Wasn't sure if you're going to make it or not, because it is not our normal podcasting night. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. There wasn't anything that I was like, I need. And I don't really need, I still do need some NAS hard drives, but my NAS is actually getting pretty full. So I need to.
Speaking of NAS, we have a NAS story, don't we?
We do have a NAS story this week. So we'll be talking about that as well. But yeah, let's just jump into reviews. So I took a look at three different products over the time since last podcast. And we'll start with a motherboard. So this is the ASRock Phantom Gaming X870 Riptide Wi-Fi. And ASRock used to only have the Phantom Gaming line, right? Now they've segmented it where you have, you know, this Riptide in there. There's some other things in the Phantom Gaming line as well. So they've segmented it even more, which I don't know if that makes it like just weird or like it just, you know.
Why not just make it ASRock Riptide, right? Yeah. Instead of putting it under the Phantom Gaming line.
Yeah, there's Nova now, there's Riptide now. But this is going to be your pretty standard X870 motherboard. It is on the more entry level when it comes to X870. I think this is their cheapest priced X870 board, or one of their cheapest priced X870 boards, at least within the Phantom Gaming line. Has a 14+2+1 power face design. You're going to get PCI Express 5.0 on your graphics as well as your top M.2. And as far as the design of the board, it doesn't, I know we're like subduing things these days, but like it doesn't necessarily jump out at you, right?
No, I like it though.
Yeah, it's just a sleek kind of looking board. The whole Riptide is like supposed to be waves. So this sort of like wavy design is like the Riptide in water. That's the whole idea of the Riptide line. So that's kind of the whole design of the board itself. Of course, this is an AM5 socket. And it's pretty, like I said, as far as the feature set goes on this board, it is pretty standard when it comes to an X870 board. There's nothing that's like crazy about this board that jumps out. You do get some toolless systems. So this top M.2 is completely toolless, which is nice. You don't get a button or anything like that to release your graphics card, but this M.2 heatsink is not massive and it's easy to remove. So if you were having trouble getting your graphics card out, your M.2s, all of them have this little toolless thing right here. So when you put your M.2 in, you just kind of move that over. So no more screws. ASRock was like notorious for the M.2 screws for the longest time. So on this board and pretty much all their boards now, you're not going to find any more screws or anything like that. So and then you have that top M.2, which is Gen 5. And then these two bottom ones are Gen 4. They also have the toolless system there, you know. And then this is going to be a Wi-Fi board. It does have Wi-Fi 7. And then here's your rear I.O. Pretty standard. You are going to get 2.5 gig LAN on this. There is a dedicated BIOS flashback button, which is nice to see. And of course, you're going to get dual USB 4s. So that's good there as well as far as your connectivity. And then as far as the lighting goes, there's just a single, which is crazy for ASRock these days, a single RGB strip on that, like right under that bottom M.2 heatsink. It will light up quite nicely. You do have a handful of RGB and ARGB headers on the board, so you can add more lighting if you want to, but that's all the lighting that you're going to get. And then they're still using their A-tuning software, which is incredibly dated by now. And their BIOS is, I have a full BIOS walkthrough. It's all right.
It does what it's supposed to do.
I'd say. I think ASRock, they need to kind of redesign their BIOS a little bit. And just like almost, like Gigabyte updated their software. ASUS has gone with Armory Crate now. MSI has updated their software. So ASRock's the only one that's using their more dated software. So I would, they need to kind of do a little redesign on that software for their companion software for their motherboard, you know. And it's a hard thing to do because it just like with like Armory Crate and all those, they becomes bloated and it just, you know. So, but they definitely need to do that. As far as testing goes, it's going to perform just like any other X870 motherboard. I didn't run into any really crazy issues or anything like that. Temperatures were in check, no issues at all. And overall, I definitely do like the board, and it's very affordable. $219.99. Like I said, it's one of the most affordable X870 boards from ASRock. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. My only con is that the software did seem dated, and there's no clear CMOS button. You have the BIOS flashback button, but that's not a clear CMOS button. So I always like to see a clear CMOS button, not a jumper. The jumper is just
a jumper. It's a pain.
Yeah, the jumper is just annoying, especially these days. But you're going to get everything else you kind of want with this board. It is a solid board. And again, if you're doing a Ryzen build and you're trying to, you know, save some money, this is going to give you pretty much what you want for just over $200. So I think it is a good board overall. So definitely go ahead and check out my review on that. And next we'll move to an interesting product. Now, I don't know about you. We've seen companies team up with like professional gamers to put out like a mouse and keyboards and things like that. But I don't know about you. Have you seen a brand team up with like an influencer?
Did like MKBHD do anything, or does he build his own stuff? Or the other one I'm thinking of off the top of my head is like LMG, right? Linus Media Group.
Yeah, but they
design and build their own stuff.
Yeah,
right?
So that's kind of like,
I don't know.
I don't think I've seen a brand team up with like, or like maybe like keycaps or something like that. Maybe.
Sure.
But we haven't seen it. So this was a really interesting product that we got offered to review.
Ninja and NZXT, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often where a brand teams up with an influencer to put out a influencer branded product. It just really doesn't happen, right?
Right.
So this brand called Machoose, they teamed up with Unbox Therapy to put out a keyboard, which is their UT98. And the way that this all came about is that Unboxed Therapy took a look at their GX87 keyboard, and they liked it a lot, but they had some feedback, and they actually gave them the feedback. And then Matthias was like, well, why don't we design a keyboard together? And that's where you get the UT98. So this is a mechanical keyboard, 98% layout, which is actually a layout I like a lot, because it essentially is a full size, just slightly smaller than a full size. So it doesn't appear as big as a full size keyboard. And they put some interesting things in this. Now, the keyboard itself just comes with the keyboard. You're going to get keycap puller and some other stuff, just like your normal thing. And there are some extras, which I'll talk about, because you can pick this up on Kickstarter or you can pre-order it. But here's the keyboard. And there's two different colorways. This is the darker colorway. There's a lighter colorway available. And as far as the Unboxed Therapy branding goes, the text on the keycaps is going to be like their logo text, and then there is, like, you can see the Unboxed Therapy logo here, and then this keycap up here is the hat, which is like sort of part of their logo as well. So that's kind of the branding that you get. Double shot PBT keycaps, mechanical key switches. This right here, if you're wondering, that is a little volume knob. And then when you actually press it in, it will like play pause and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. There's a dedicated calculator button, which is
kind of smart, I think. You don't like it?
I don't use my calculator that much. I don't know.
I do.
Yeah. So, like, if you're somebody who uses a calculator, you have a dedicated calculator button there. But yeah, I think overall it does look quite good. You know, and then here are our switches here. So I got the linear switches. They have a quiet version as well, which have quiet switches. I'm more of a linear type person, and you can see they have a lot of padding and, you know, sound dampening in this, and the sound profile on this is amazing, actually. Super, super amazing. Like, I think that's like a good thing that they worked with, like, you know, Unboxed Therapy on this, because, like, one of my biggest things is sound profile. You can put all the nice stuff in it, you can put all the nice switches.
Good, yeah.
If it doesn't sound good, I'm not going to use it. And this has such a great sound profile, has a lot to do with all of the foam and everything that they put in there, but it's one of the best for what it is. So I really, really like that. Simple type C. This is tri-mode connectivity. So you have type C to charge, and then you can use it via type C. There is an integrated 2.4 gigahertz dongle. You can use it that way, and then you can use it via Bluetooth. So it is, like, again, it's a nice, well-made keyboard. Now, it is plastic. The chassis is plastic, so you have to keep that in mind, but it feels solid. It's not a cheap plastic that has, like, crazy flex or anything like that.
I mean, a metal base is going to, like, that just skyrockets your price, right?
So. And you have the and possibility of pinging.
Exactly.
When you do that, but you can mitigate that.
You can mitigate that, yeah.
Yeah. Also, we have Liquid House in the house. Good to see you here. So, yeah, we're podcasting on different days, so you guys can hang out with us. So it's just pretty cool. And happy birthday to Ellie over at Liquid House. Right. It's just her birthday as well. And you do have RGB lighting on this. And typically when you have keycaps that don't have shine through legends or see through legends, you don't see it that much, but it looks good here. This picture is just normal lit room. I think it looks good.
I mean, I think we've gotten better LED technology in the 10 plus years we've had LED keyboards. I think that helps too, right?
Yeah, and it's just, like I said, there's just a little bit of space. Like it does look good. I have to say, like, if you look at it, it does look quite good. So you have per key RGB lighting. Matthias has their own software. You can download it, or just like we're doing most of the time these days, they have a web-based software, which I prefer. I don't like having extra software on my system. So web-based, then it saves to the keyboard, so you can go ahead and do that. Pretty easy to go ahead and do that all through the web interface. And like I said, I like this keyboard. It's very, very comfortable. I'm actually kind of bummed that I didn't get the Silent, because I would really like to see how the Silent feels too, because this keyboard is incredibly comfortable, which I really, really like. Sound profile is good if you want the like clicky clack sound, but I, like I said, if you want it quiet, go to like the Unbox Therapy does have videos on this, so you can hear the silent as well and kind of what it feels like. But I like this keyboard. We have our sound tests here if you want to listen to what it sounds like typing on this keyboard. And they have some extras that they did send us, which are not part of just buying the keyboard. They do have a mouse mat. It's 800 by 300, which I got to be 800 by 400 for me because I need a big mouse surface. But if you look at it, like that's kind of what the keyboard looks like sitting on it. So they have that. And then you'll notice this palm rest. Ooh, the palm soft. Rest. Yeah, it's very nice. It's like made of like a pour-on foam. It's really nice. With the Unbox Therapy logo, that's extra. So the mouse mat is $49 and the wrist rest is also $49. The keyboard is $139, which I think is a really good deal.
Yeah, for that size. Yeah.
For that size, tri-mode connectivity, and again, sound profile and comfort and how it feels typing. I kind of didn't want, like, I'm testing another keyboard right now, and I didn't want to stop using it, but it is a good keyboard. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, the only bad part about it is mostly made of plastic. There is some flex. It's not crazy flex, but there is just, you know, if it's made out of plastic, you're going to get some flex. So there's just a little bit of flex there. But everything else works great. It does have a really high-capacity battery in there as well, so it's going to last quite a long time if you're using it fully in wired or wireless mode. So yeah.
I don't think we've talked about it. What's the like Type-C connection look like on there? Does it give you the option to like use a coiled cable or something?
Yeah, so it's not recessed or anything like that. Okay, I have cool. A picture of it. I can bring it up for you.
That's always like a downside if.
Yeah, so it's right on the back here. It's just right in the center on the back. So it's just, cool. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it is. Yeah,
it's not super deep though. Like
yeah, so it's not. You could put. I used an aftermarket cable with this. Like it works fine, no problem. So, cool. So definitely worth checking out. Like I said, and I never heard of this Matthews brand either. So it's nice to check out another keyboard from a company we've never worked with before. So definitely
sure, it's not MC Hose.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. That's just how I say it.
How you say it.
Yeah. And then finally, we wrap up our reviews with an air cooler from Endorfi. This is their Fortis 5 Black ARGB. So this is, they have a Fortis 5, they have a Fortis 5 Black, and then they have a Fortis 5 Black ARGB. So the Black ARGB version is just going to be an all-black cooler. So everything on it is black, the heat pipes, the heat sink, the fan, and then the ARGB, meaning that the top cap is ARGB and the fan is ARGB. But this is a single tower, single fan cooler. Pretty big cooler as well for a single tower, but it is going to dissipate quite a lot of heat there as well. Massive fan, 140 yep. millimeter fan there. Held into place by fan clips. Single tower, like I said, you can see how thick that heatsink tower is. And then you have the top cap here, which is going to light up with ARGB lighting. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 heat pipes. And then these are direct touch as well. And these are machined like quite well. Like these are, you can tell these are machined very, very well. So direct contacts with your CPU there. And like I said, just a very solid cooler overall. And it's always interesting checking out. I've never done an air cooler from Endorfi before, so it's always interesting to see how's the installation, like how are they doing installation. We're installing on AM5, so pretty easy. You remove the AM5 brackets, you take these AMD screws here, you put those into the holes where the brackets went, so you're kind of attaching the back plate, the AMD black back plate that should be already be on there. Then you put this sort of guide rail or mount, and this is their universal mount. So you can see there's a ton of holes. This is going to work with both AMD and Intel. You line it up, you screw it in, and then you essentially put the cooler right on top. It's actually really, really easy. Super easy to get this installed. It shouldn't take you long at all. And that's what it looks like on. And then you just put the fan back on and you're essentially good to go with this cooler. You get 100% memory clearance in the front, so it's not going to block memory. So if you were using RGB memory, it's not going to block your RGB memory. So that's really, really good. And then, of course, you connect the ARGB, you connect the fan, and you're good to go. This is what it looks like in our system here. You can see it doesn't block the memory.
It's pretty big.
It is a big, beefy cooler, as you can see. But yeah, insulation, pretty easy overall. And then as far as the lighting goes, you know, this is what it looks like. ARGB, and they do include not an ARGB controller, or sort of an ARGB controller. It's the one where you connect it to your reset button, and then you can change the colors. I connected it directly to the motherboard, so I can control it that way. But you can control it however you want. It's a standard 3-pin ARGB connection. So pretty easy to see what that looks like. And then as far as temperatures go, we've only tested two other coolers in this new system, and they were both dual tower, dual fan. So keep that in mind. Idle temperature, like the cooler got last in all of our tests. And again, that has a lot to do with what we tested against, but it's pretty close overall. Like, it's not crazy out of bounds as far as its performance goes. As you can see, here's our low temperature, you know, but it was the quietest out of all three of the coolers as well, especially considering we have a single fan. So that 140 millimeter fan is incredibly quiet. You know, so that's something to keep in mind. But I think if you know, the performance isn't amazing by any means, but if you're running your chip at its stock settings, you're not overclocking or anything like that, this is going to be a fine cooler. It's going to work just fine. No problem, I think. So I like it for what it is. I like the ARGB lighting, easy installation. I gave it an 8 out of 10. It is pretty well priced at right around $50 on Newegg right now. The things I didn't like about it, again, the performance, our other coolers in our test group were better. And the installation was like the little installation booklet that they give you. For the AMD installation, it just showed like a diagram of like everything going in. It wasn't like
all at once.
Yeah, it wasn't like a step by step. And like, obviously, I'm a seasoned CPU cooler installer, so I know what I'm doing. But I just imagine a beginner; it's just a little more difficult. So that was the other thing I didn't like about it. But it is a solid cooler for like running a CPU stock. And yeah, so check it. Like I said, check out the review. Price is good on it as well. So yeah, three reviews. Lots of stuff going on here. So
yeah, no kidding.
We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build from who is this from? This is from Hardline Nexus. So this is their X2 Pro Z890S. And this one's kind of interesting because we have liquid cooling for the GPU, but passive cooling for the CPU. So this uses the Noctua passive CPU cooler, which I actually reviewed a while back. And this is done in the Fantex Evolve X2. We've seen a lot of builds in this case. Yeah. And this one, what do you think of this one, Ryan?
It's cool. It looks very surgical, right? It almost looks like it belongs in like an operating room in a movie. I always like feel like we go back to that movie theme, like, oh, I can see this on the set of a movie, but it does. That's what it reminds me of, right? A set piece.
Yeah.
I like it though. I think it's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting to see again, the passive heat sink with the water cooling there.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got that airflow from bottom to top to kind of get your airflow across that heat sink, which is pretty cool. It's probably going to be pretty dang quiet.
Yeah. I like this.
We didn't talk about last week's case mod either.
We can take a look at that one as well since we skipped the week.
Just a quick look. But no, I like this. I like the bright white lighting. Again, the red in there reminds me of like a medical scene where they're like maybe filtering blood through that.
Yeah. Let me go back. Hold on. The reservoir, just kind of how it sits there, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like, and if you look at it, it's like, okay, this is like the whatever, like the blood or the heart, and then you have, and then the
they almost look like they're running through it. Yeah,
yeah, the heat pipes. It is actually pretty cool if you look at it like that way. It's just interesting. So shout out to Hardline Nexus for that build. Such a, like I said, just it's like this picture. It looks like they're just like coming out. Sweet. But yeah. The week before, we featured a build from our good friend AK Mod, and this one is called Sign Rift. And just like all of his builds, this is very futuristic.
Much custom work on this.
Yeah, and again, CPU is water cooled, but the GPU is not. Mm-hmm. But it looks like, again, something sort of out of a movie, you know.
So was this sponsored by, like, was this in partnership with XPG?
Yeah.
ADATA?
Yeah.
Because you see that logo there pretty prominent. So it's like they took one of their cases and just, like, added on to the outside, but did it in a really cool way. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just like all of his, like, it looks like it's out of a movie or something.
Yeah.
Really, really cool design on this, and just great work, great colors. Just looks absolutely awesome. I'm gonna try to go to AK Mod Studio in Taiwan when I go to Computex next year. Yeah, look at like this. This looks like, again, something out of a movie.
Yep.
Just super, super cool. So shout out to AK Mod for this one. Bits Power Cooling on that one as well, as you can see right there. So yeah, just some awesome builds. I mean, the builds are getting so good. Sometimes it's hard to like choose one for Case Mod Friday. That's how good they are.
Oh, I'm sure.
We are going to talk about Windows 10 end of life, but an interesting thing happened this week. One of the main developers from Microsoft explained the Windows 10 FCKGW CD key, and everybody's used it. I've used it. Everybody's used it. This was the
day. I've never used it.
This was the day zero CD key that literally everybody knew, and like I knew it by heart because I used it so much. Like you just knew it by heart. At least I did. So he explained the whole story. This is from Dave Plummer, and he put out this big thing on X, sort of showing that the key itself was a valid volume licensing key. And you needed special volume media to go with it. And it says the WPA worked by generating a hardware ID from your CPU, RAM, and other components, and then sending it to Microsoft alongside your product key for validation. A mismatched or suspicious key would flag the install as pirated. But the key was whitelisted in Windows XP activation logic. It told the system, this is a corporate volume licensing. No need to phone home. So, you know, you would install this and use the key, and it wouldn't stop you. It wouldn't stop you. And for somebody like me testing systems, it was very easy to just use this key because I know it would always work. And then I would, you know, test a motherboard or test a graphics card or whatever, you know. And again, no 30-day timeouts for the key, no watermark, nothing. It just worked. Full functionality in XP. And again, everybody knew this key. Like, everybody knew this key. You just did.
That is pretty funny.
So that's the kind of story of it. We did a little write-up about it and how everything kind of worked with it. Pretty interesting how all this stuff comes out later. You know what I mean? Pretty awesome. If you want to check out that article, of course, we have it linked in the show notes.
Yeah. I had a different XP key. I still have it memorized, because every now and then it like pops into my head and I just like recite it real quick. But it was, you know, from
when this story came out, I like closed my eyes and I was like, oh yeah, I know the key. Like, you just know it because you just use it so much.
Yep.
Old man in the chat says, aren't volume licensing keys what they sell on those shady Windows key reseller sites? Yeah. Some of those sites are kind of legit. You just have to find the right one, or just like take the chance. A lot of times, like those, they're like 10 bucks or whatever, and they only work on a fresh install a lot of the times too. So like if you're upgrading or something like that, I would watch, you know, but yeah, pretty, like I said, pretty interesting story. I like that we're getting to the, we're getting older, and now like a lot of the older stories, the like tech stories are coming out that we like nobody knew about. So this is one of them. Like I said, we have an article, check it out if you want to. Pretty interesting story about how that all kind of
2001, you know, when that came out, man.
You're old, man. You're old.
I know.
We also have our contest going on with Valkyrie. If you guys didn't know, we're giving away two of their Jarn 360 liquid CPU coolers, like this one right here. Super easy to go ahead and enter. 10 days left on this, guys. So definitely go ahead and get your entry in. Again, you just like sign up for our email newsletter and make sure you're subscribed, because when we pick a winner, if you're not subscribed, you don't win. So get it. But then once you do that, there's a bunch of other ways you can enter and get more entries in and everything like that. But that is also linked in the show notes if you can't find it. But you just go to contests on the website and you'll be able to find it, no problem. And now we'll move to Windows 10 EOL, which is like what?
Tomorrow.
You finally upgraded.
I did. I upgraded. When was that? Like Friday or something?
Yeah, Ryan, finally upgraded. Talking about upgrading, the Windows 10 media creation tool broke.
It's all right. I got one right here.
Yeah. But apparently, it just broke. I don't know what... Again, like, we talked about this with, like, the restart thing. Like, is this, like, the state of Windows? Like, things just, like...
They just start breaking stuff?
Yeah, because, like, a lot of people kind of want the media creation tool to...
Yeah.
To upgrade to
11. Yeah.
To 11. Because the media creation tool in 10 is what's broken. So you want to create the media within your current OS to upgrade. If you're not going to do like a straight upgrade, if you wanted to. Yeah. So it's broken in Windows 10. Yeah. Now you can do an ISO download and then put that onto a flash drive. We actually had an article how to do that, which not many people do, because it's the media creation tool is a lot easier.
Yes.
Than putting the ISO onto a flash drive and have that be bootable. Right.
Like mounting an ISO and
nobody's
burning these things.
Yeah. So yeah, those are old articles on the website we've had up there for a very long time. But hopefully if you're still on 10, you're gonna get upgraded to 11. I've been on 11 for quite a while. We'll talk about it more at the end of the podcast as far as that goes. Liquid House, as far as the keys go, they sell OEM keys meant for one-time use. You can't unpair a drive from a board with an OEM key. Yeah, I had that issue, actually. I was doing a quick install, and like I needed a key, and then I changed out a part, and then it was like, nope. So you have to watch with some of them. They're, like I said, there are legit resellers. Yeah. Like the ones that are like $10, probably not a legit reseller. The ones that are like $30 to $40 are like probably like more legit resellers, but you have to be careful. I would say like go on Reddit, maybe see what people say on there. Like, you know, like people who have legit experiences using those, or just pay the, what is it? $120 for the,
something for, like that, yeah. For then Windows. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Talking about that, Microsoft is finally enforcing, and they've tried to block it multiple times and there's been workarounds. Enforcing mandatory online account in Windows 11, so no local bypass. There is a way around this. You just have to have an older version of non-updated Windows, like the install, and you can still do it. Like I have an
like older I have. One.
Yeah. that's how you get around it. So in Windows 11, if you do an upgrade to the latest version, which whatever that is, or you use the media creation tool to create a flash drive to install Windows, it's going to have the latest version. But the way to get around it is to have an older version that you made from the Windows, from the media creation tool, maybe like 6 months ago. That's how you would get around this. But they're really bogging down on this. So you can't do local accounts. You can't do that other bypass, which was the OBE, you know, and then the MSCHX local only bypass NRO, all of those, they're not going to work anymore with the latest version of Windows 11. Yeah. Hi, what do you think about that?
I don't like it. I mean, I understand why they're going to it, but I'm just not a fan. Like, I don't know. I want to use my machine in a manner that I'm comfortable with. I don't want all these extra call outs to Microsoft servers, you know, just because I've connected my user account to that machine now. That's not there in previous versions, right? Or
yeah,
by using a local.
Somebody's going to create an easy workaround.
Oh, it'll be broken.
Yeah, you would think. Like I said, the way to get around it right now is just have an older version of Windows 11 that's ready to go to install, and it won't, like the other things. Like I have one where the bypass NRO still works. So
you got to make sure you like keep that off to the side.
Yeah, yeah. So I have that one, and then yeah, then when you install it, you just run the updates and everything. But that's how you do it. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, they're really locking this down, which is kind of interesting. Old man in the chat says Windows wants that user data to train their AI. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I could definitely see that as well. Finally, we have unified dark mode. Finally, in Windows. So dark mode's been around in Windows. But if you are in dark mode and then you went to like transfer a file or like delete something, the pop-up would not be dark like this. It would be the normal color. So they finally made it unified. I don't know why. Like, again, the state of Windows. I don't know why it took them so long. But it's finally unified now, which is a good thing. You know, this is going to be on Windows 11 Insider Dev build 26.2.20 and later. If you want to finally get that, if you're some, do you run dark? Like, you don't do any? I don't run dark mode. You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't run dark mode at all.
And I noticed it transferring a file like sometime this weekend. I was like, what's this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's finally unified if you get that beta build, but it will be pushed out to a public build, I would assume, soon. Yeah. Now, this next product is actually very cool. So Aqua Computer has their Ampanel?
Yeah.
Is that how you would say that? Which is this little device right here that plugs in.
I wouldn't call that little, first of all. That is not little.
Well, okay. This device that you plug in to your 12VH PWR power connection has a little screen on it that shows you live current going through the card, has a bunch of safety things built in. That's an OLED display. So this is what it looks like. This is the PCB. And again, that's the connection on the other side.
I like this, but I hate that we're at this point.
That we need something like this.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool, but
it does look super cool. Anything with a little
sturdy that is. Like, are you putting that much more weight on the connector? Like, because that's a metal body. You've got that. I don't know.
I like this, though.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Aqua so Suite. It connects to their Aqua Suite, and you can see all the currents in real time in the actual suite, which I think is just awesome. And again, you can set alarms and do all of that, but yeah, I'm a fan. And you can see deviation as well in it. Yeah, that's just cool. Why don't graphics cards have this built in? The only one that does is the
Asus used to have one with a screen. No,
well, Asus has the in the Astrals they have. Where you can see each individual pin. But like this should be like a standard thing, don't you think?
I don't know. It's so gimmicky. I'm not looking over there to look at my like and those no. That screen is so tiny.
No, but what
are you talking about? Just like the monitoring for these?
The monitoring and having that data available. Absolutely.
That should be there.
Like the sensors should be there.
Sure. I mean, think about like when I had my EVGA card and was running what? Precision X? Is that what it was? Their software? Precision X or Precision X 1, something like that. It showed like the GPU and would show like the temperatures across areas of the board. And so you could easily do this, I feel.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of hanging this off of a card or having it sit there, and like, how much does it weigh and how much more stress is it putting on a connector that we already know has issues?
That's true.
It would be unless it had some way of like mounting to the card, but every card's going to be a little different. So again, I go back to my original like request on this connector or whatever the next iteration is to have some dang screws that like screw your cable into the card.
I feel like that leads to too much user error.
I don't know.
That's just like that's how I see the screws. Or like somebody just accidentally yanks and like pulls the whole connector.
Right, pulls too hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's cool. It's around $94 US. If you want to go ahead and pick it up. I like it for the monitoring. And like if you're like somebody who loves data, like it's just cool to have that that much data on there though. So pretty cool, pretty interesting. Shout out to Aqua Computer for that one. AMD doing it again. So they've hit 40% CPU share on Steam, up 1.15%. To be honest, who is building an Intel system right now?
A lot of people, I'm sure.
But like, are they?
I'm sure you have to remember though, like the enthusiast crowd and whatever like hobby or realm it is so much smaller than the general population in public, right? So you have to keep that in mind that there's always like, I go back to like playing Magic when I was like super involved in that. It's like, yeah, we're here playing every week and tweaking our decks, but there's a whole realm of kitchen table players, and the company like, you know, will cater to them, like, and that's such a big
everybody group. I know.
That's building one, yeah.
That's building a PC, is building a Ryzen
build. Think of all those pre-builds.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're a PC gamer and you're mainly gaming, it just makes sense to get an X3D part. Like it just, and again, like I mean, the cost is kind of this around the same. It's just, I don't know. I just think most people. But the interesting thing, look at this. In 2020, AMD had 23% of the market share on Steam. In 2024, they went up to, for just 4 years, 35%. A year later, they're at 40%.
Yeah,
pretty interesting. Pretty interesting to see what.
Well, I would like to see this even further back, and I know Valve probably has that data because we're still in the like 2020. Still, what generation of Ryzen? Like 2, maybe 3.
Probably 2. I don't remember, but
so because first gen came out like 2017 or 18, I think. I'd like to see that back like another 10 years when AMD was really struggling and Intel was just eating their lunch every day, right? Is that like a 90-10 or a 95-5 type of ratio? Like to go all the way up to 40% is amazing. That's,
yeah. And this is just Steam. This is not
you know,
but I think that it just shows a lot to what AMD has done, like what they've been able to do and how they just listen to the customer, something that Intel hasn't necessarily done over the past few years. So pretty interesting to see that. We have some new cases, and one's really interesting. The one I actually have here that I'll be doing a review on, which is this first one. So new Be Quiet case. This is our Lightbase 500. There's an LX version and just a regular Lightbase 500. Sort of like your thicker square case here, but I really like the angled fans on the side. This is what it would look like on the interior. What do you like? NZXT was one of the first to probably do the angled fans. What do you think of the angled fans on the inside of this?
I don't mind it. I like it. If anything, just helping get that air flowing in a direction where it doesn't have to bang up against that glass panel necessarily and then change direction, right?
I really like that they've recessed this down here.
Is it recessed and then fans will fill that up and make it flush?
Fans will fill that up.
Yeah.
If you want to put them there.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, which I like. It just we'll make it for just an easier, and since it is recessed down there, you don't have to worry about like trying to get the wires through, like you have all the mounting yep. right in there, which I definitely like. Yeah, so
that's true.
So this is the version that's the non-LX version, which we'll have. And I believe each case does come with four fans. So you get three here and then one in the back, which is nice.
Now, are those reverse blade fans or are those exhausting?
I don't know.
I'm guessing they're probably reverse blade fans to pull air in from the front, yeah. right?
I would guess they probably just want to make it look obviously
right.
aesthetically pleasing. We're finally getting to that point too, where like the brands know they're like,
we can just flip these blades around and yeah. push air instead of pull and make it still look nice.
Yeah, both a white and black version. I actually have the white one here. In the, I believe it's the LX, so I'll have the RGB fan. So it's gonna be a pretty sick build when I do it. So yeah, I like this. Old Man says it looks exactly like the Thermaltake View 380TG. Yeah, but all these are very, very similar. Maybe not for my main, but I like this form factor that's just a little bit thicker, right? A little bit wider. But more like boxy. That's like kind of
OG Corsair.
Yeah.
280 or whatever it was.
Yeah. That's kind of what I like. But yeah, I like this so far. So definitely stay tuned. I'll have a review for this coming up, but really excited to take a look at this case. Now, this next case is, I want your thoughts on this one, Ryan. So Asus already had a ProArt PA401, which had wood accents. And they've made it, I don't know what, like, super wood beige color.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the color of wood. But at the same time, it at least is all color matched through it. So it's almost the point of being a Noctua love it or hate it type of look.
Yeah.
It reminds me of some, like, 90s wood furniture that I just have this design in my head that it reminds
it
me
is
of.
It is a nice
case. I think it would look good with some Noctua parts, right? Throw in that Noctua GPU.
Instead of making this white, they should have made this the beige color too.
Yep.
That's the only thing. But yeah.
I think it looks cool.
You just got to, you know, paint the motherboard the same color. Let's get it in there.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. So I don't think they have. Well, yeah. Yeah, pretty interesting. We're getting these different. I wouldn't even call this like a retro because it's not necessarily like they made it like a retro because it's like sort of like a beige color. Like, I don't. Yeah, it's just like a really interesting
color. I wonder how many of these they sell also. Like, are they selling these mostly to consumers or are they selling these to businesses that are building out, you know, a design studio?
I mean, it's a ProArt case.
ProArt, yeah.
Yeah, so.
They keep coming out with the components, so they're obviously selling them.
Yeah. Holdman says that wood color looks like it's missing the wood stain in the final touch. It is an interesting color. I'm a big fan of adding wood on any piece of PC components, to be honest. I would see these are just like renders too. I really would like to see like the real thing, right? Because these are kind of like renders. But yeah, pretty interesting case there from Asus. At least the color. Like I said, they've had the normal black one that has like the wood panels on the front. So yeah. Now this for me, this next story, it just screams like take my money. Like I don't know why. Maybe, and it's not even like a, because like back in the 90s we had all this transparent tech, yep,
TVs and radio,
but like this just looks good. So we talked about it on the last podcast. Logitech did come out with their MX Master 4, has the haptic feedback. They've improved a bunch of stuff on the original. It is one of the best selling mice, like the MX Master 3, one of the best selling mice all time. So
yep.
A lot of people are excited for the MX Master 4, but apparently there's a transparent version that, like, if that's the one, if I'm getting this mouse, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at it.
That does look good.
Like, it looks good, man.
Yeah.
Like again, that. like, why don't we have more tech like this?
I don't know.
Because that doesn't look like it's not like that retro transparent look.
Right.
it is like a very modern, futuristic.
Super gloss. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would look like if they had a button or a version with the buttons clear too. I'd be curious to see what that looks like, or if it does look better with just the white buttons. Either way, it's that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like I want this.
It's too heavy though.
Yeah, it's such a heavy mess. It's a big cost. But like what why don't we have more tech like that?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, unless you've got to deal with, like, and they can do certain things to mitigate this, but, like, yellowing of the plastic, you know?
Yeah, there are.
If it gets scratched or stuff.
I do feel that, like, the transparent goes so much, like, goes together with the white so well. Like, I don't know how this is going to look with, like, a black or anything like that.
Yeah, the black could be tough, I think.
Yeah, but, like, for the white, yeah, it just... Mm-hmm. If I'm getting this mouse, this is the one that I want. If I don't even know if it's available. Like, if you can
get it. Right, because there's a bunch of other colors there on this table that this guy's looking at. So maybe it's just concepts or something.
Yeah, but hopefully they come out with it. Because, yeah, that's the one that I definitely want. So yeah, but it is a heavy mouse. If you guys have ever used MX Master, it's great for, like, productivity and stuff like that. It would be a hard sell for gaming for me because I'm so used to a lightweight mouse. Synology. So we all know Synology. They make both of my NASs are Synology NASs, and they. How long ago was it? Were they
6 months? Maybe six to nine months.
Six to nine months ago, they kind of put out that you could only use their Synology branded drives in their NASs, and they kind of were. That, you know, a lot of people are kind of pissed because it's like, maybe I want to use WV Reds. Maybe what's the Seagate ones?
You had to ask. Yeah. I can't, Iron Wolf or Iron.
Yeah. But whatever, like, you know, people have the brands that they like. And a lot of it also has to do with, like, if your business, like, that's the one that the business bought, whatever. So you were kind of set to using Synology drives. And again, like we talked about with Windows and, like, if this is my thing, I want to be able to put whatever I want in it. You know, it supports 3.5-inch hard drives. I want to be able to put whatever drive I want in there. I don't want to be locked into your hard drive. It's just...
Right. And now, if you tell me, like, if I put my own in and you can't guarantee, like, certain performance levels, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's because I chose to put a drive in. But, like, just locking them out? No, not great.
Yeah. So... the sales of Synology NASs just started to go down. So they have done a U-turn on this policy. Now, not all NASs will, not everyone, but it says they're going to allow third-party hard drives and its 2025 consumer NAS models. They have to update to the latest DSM, which is like their software that runs on their NASs. It does say Synology branded M.2 SSDs remain a requirement for certain features. I think this
is good.
I like community outcry and backlash because it's like, that's just a dumb decision. These support 3.5-inch drives. If I want to put in a shucked 3.5-inch drive that I pulled out of something else, or I have older WD Reds that I just have sitting here, like, why do I have to buy new drives just to put them in an ass if I, you know?
Unfortunately, what I've seen, like, online in a bunch of, like, subreddits is people are like, nope, I'm done, I've already moved away from them or whatever.
That's right? The thing,
it's almost,
is like
almost too late. But I like to think that we need to give Synology a little bit of credit for, like, listening to the customer base and backing, right, trying to make it better. I don't know. Some people get so up in arms about some of these things. And when the company does something to fix it, they just have already moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. They acknowledge the mistake.
Right.
But again, when it comes to certain things, it's like sometimes it's too little too late, but at least they're doing what you would consider the right thing, right? They're saying, okay, we're opening back up, our bad, you know?
Right.
And hopefully that brings more people, more customers back and everything like that. So,
I mean, to me, the smarter thing to do, in my opinion, would have been, hey, we're gonna like put maybe put some of these features behind our drives and make our drives more affordable, like make it desirable to get their drives, right?
Yeah,
sell them at a lower price and maybe add some features that are new features, right? You're not going to lock anything behind a paywall. I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could have gone about doing this if they were that concerned about their drives and everything.
Yeah, their drives. Yeah. So anyways. Pretty interesting. It's good to see that. So if you're buying a Synology NAS, you don't have to necessarily buy Synology based hard drives if you don't want to. And then finally, our last story. So LEGO recently came out with their LEGO Game Boy, which is a life-size LEGO of the Game Boy. Well, somebody modded it.
Of course they did.
To make it an actual real Game Boy. This is from Natalie the Nerd. We have her stuff linked in this. But she made a custom PCB. And this is not like a Raspberry Pi running Game Boy emulator. This is a true cartridge playing Game Boy that she made.
That's cool.
Out of the LEGO. And yeah, she has it all on her website as well as on X and everything like that. But just, I love stuff like this. Like, how cool is this?
Yep. Well, yeah, and the fact that it's a custom PCB, it looked like it had Type-C charging. I mean, yeah, this is not like just a mess inside there or like just stripped down a Game Boy and shoved it inside the case. Like, this is like, yeah, a true work of art.
Yeah. Here. Yeah, well, yeah, we have her website linked, and she goes over everything and kind of what she did and how she, you know, even like diagram of the PCB and how it all worked. And yeah, really, really interesting. I love stuff like this because it's just like it just shows you what people can do and everything like that. So shout out to her. Like I said, we have everything linked. You had a Game Boy?
No, I have one now, but I never had one.
Okay. I remember Game Boy, man. It was a lot of fun having one of those.
Yeah, no, I never had one.
So coming up next week, Ryan will be taking a look at the Elgato Facecam 4K. And if you've been looking at his noggin, he's actually using it right now. So yeah, we'll have that review for you coming up. And then I'm taking a look at a full-on desktop PC from none other than Lenovo. So this is their Legion Tower 7i Gen 10. So this is an Intel-based gaming PC.
There you go.
Core i9 285K with an RTX 5080. And it looks like this picture does not do it. Like, it looks really, really nice. Check out the reviews going up tomorrow. Check it out because it looks.
Tomorrow? I thought it's already up.
You're not supposed to tell people. It's already on the website. If you can find it.
I was going to say, I read this like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's been up. I just hit publish when I was done with it instead of waiting. But yeah, it's an awesome gaming PC. It is expensive. Like I said, we'll talk about it next week. But Lenovo did this right, especially when it comes to the cooling and everything. Like, you see a lot of these pre-built and they're not, the cooling's not there. And it's like.
What I liked was the custom GPU, right? That like it doesn't just look like you bought a machine and then there's like an Asus or an MSI card in there, right? We'll talk about it on the
We'll talk about it. But yeah, so we'll have that for you next week as well. Maybe some other stuff, just depends on everything, of course. And then our question of the week, since Ryan, you upgraded to Windows 11, is there anything that you notice? That you've noticed because your main machine was Windows 10 for a long time. You upgraded to Windows 11. What is there anything that you're like, why did they do that? Or this is completely different? Or
I mean, I've been using it at work for quite a while now. So
okay.
I've found a lot of those, right? But here on this machine, honestly, like there's a couple things I did right away, right? I moved that start menu to the left side.
My start menu is still in the middle. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Got rid of like, you know, the search and all those extra little widgety things going on. I need to do the reg edit adjustment to give me the full right click menu. the old school one that gives you all the options right there instead of having to hit more options. I don't want to have to click twice to get to what I just used to have with one click.
I also what's the one thing I didn't like? I gotta find it.
Some of my apps like Wavelink, and Wavelink's done this before in the past, sometimes with updates where like audio channels were mapped weird and things like that. But I will say that I've only had it for a few days on this machine, but restarting takes forever.
Really?
It like sits on the Asus logo and just like spins, and only on restarts. Like a fresh start, it comes up pretty quick.
Interesting.
But a restart is like really slow for some reason. And I don't like Task Manager. I always have it open. And I have multiple drives in this machine, and I used to be able to see like CPU memory, all my disks, Ethernet, and the full GPU, like. And I can see it right now, actually, so I can't complain too much. But there's just some spacing stuff and sizing that's a little different.
Yeah.
Just those little things.
It's always – I remember when I first installed 11, and I was like, what did they do? And then if you right-click on a folder, like the cut, copy, and rename is like at the top. It's just like,
right. That's what I'm saying is I want that full context menu back, which you can get back.
Yeah, you can get back. I just haven't changed. I'm used to it now. Yeah, you have to go to show more options, and then you have the whole thing. But if you're always used to like right clicking, and then you're gonna be like, what? Or like the rename, you're like, wait a minute, where's the rename? Like it's a little different.
Look at that RT old man back giving us more deals. This is a $19 keyboard with Hall Effect keys.
That's wild
for $19.
Yeah, bring it up.
Even like the full price is, it's 50% off. So even then, here I can.
So it's the Yunzi RT68 Rapid Trigger Gaming Keyboard. He said Hall Effect magnetic switches, 68 keys, is $1,887.
Why did it share? Oh, you got to switch it over to me. Right.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah. So it's like a beige color, it looks like. I wonder if they have any other colors. No. Nope.
$18 though?
For $18. Yeah. Gasket. Look, multiple levels, right? Silicone, double shot PPT keycaps.
And he said there's red accent keys included in the box.
Oh, and they're clear? At least the WASD, maybe not the Escape.
For 18, like it just makes like.
Well, I guess I'll be getting one of these.
You're going to turn into old man. He's just going to make us keep on buying keyboards.
I know. I've bought like two or three of the last ones he's shown us. Yeah, I'm going to
buy. Why haven't you swapped out your Corsair for one of those? The ones that you
bought? Don't know, because this has a wrist rest that I'm so used to and like. And I brought one of those keyboards that I bought a couple weeks back. I brought to work last week or the week before. And I've been using it, but it doesn't have a wrist rest, and it sits high enough where I want a wrist rest, and so it's kind of uncomfortable. Not crazy uncomfortable, but the low profile Cherry that I've had
is
like amazing.
You can get really nice wrist rests these days that are going to be much better than the Corsair, the one that's on the Corsair.
Because I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, this thing's, you know what keyboard I have. So it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get a little upgrade. So, all right, guys. Well, we didn't even talk about Battlefield 6. Battlefield 6 is out. We're going to be playing Battlefield 6 over on Twitch. Is there anything about Battlefield 6 that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I haven't. Well, I say I haven't spent too much time on it. Friday, like the game released Friday, EA had a ton of trouble with their EA launcher version, which of course is what I purchased it on. And so like you download it, you're ready to go. I was ready for 10 a.m. Friday. I had the day off and I get in, I'm hit with a queue, which I expected, right? But it was like 300,000 or 400,000, whatever it was. It went by pretty quick. You get in, I'm like, all right, I'm in the game. Go over to multiplayer and it's like, oh, you need to install multiplayer or whatever. And I'm like, I just installed 70 gigs worth of stuff. And so this was a common problem where the launcher was showing that you didn't have it or you needed to purchase it. And a couple hours, at like 3 or 4 hours in, I was just like, we haven't heard anything. Yeah. So maybe like 6 hours, I was like, forget this. And I saw that other people like with Steam weren't having any issues. So I refunded on EA. Bought it on Steam. The great thing also is that I have that 2.5 gig internet, so like downloading it was no big deal.
Yeah.
And then I was right in. So I played quite a bit. I think I'm level 16 or 17.
Holy shit. I've played like two matches.
So
I've been so busy though, because I'm getting ready for this trip that I'm going on. So
yeah. So I've enjoyed it. Streaming, I tested streaming a little bit today. I think I need to make some tweaks here and there because it was not performing amazing in the game. And it was running awesome just playing the game. 144 FPS the whole time, looks great. And then I start streaming and it drops down to like 50 and 60. And just, I was having some input lag. So I'd be like pressing left or right or forward and let go. And like a couple times, like I was like this and I'm still moving. And I was like, this is not okay. So got to figure some of that out.
Old Man says the campaign's bad. I don't know. I haven't played the campaign.
I haven't even launched the campaign yet.
Yeah, I haven't even launched the campaign. I need to, though, because I like to play the campaign. But yeah, we're going to be over on Twitch. So that's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan's going to run that stream, and we're going to play in some Battlefield 6. It's going to be a nice little change from Apex, finally. Yeah, so get some Battlefield going. Hopefully Ryan's better in the tank. He was playing this afternoon.
I was in a gun tank earlier today in testing and we were rolling. I was like 20 something and zero deaths, and it was great.
Nice. Well, like I said, we'll be jumping on there. So if you want to keep on hanging out, that's where we're going to be. Thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.